Welcome to The Last Trump, a radio show on end times prophecy. We encourage you to get your Bibles out and go to the scriptures with us as we look at the biblical truths found within the Bible that are pointing us to the soon coming of Jesus Christ. And now, live from the Revolution Studios on Grand Island, New York, here's your host, Mike Chory.
Welcome tonight to The Last Trump, and we are delighted to have each and every one of you a part of this one-hour broadcast on Bible prophecy end times. And just a shout out to all of our supporters of The Last Trump and Cross-Eyed Radio. Last week, if you were with us, was our regular radiothon, and wow, we saw a great response. We raised all the necessary funds to keep these radio broadcasts going and almost shattered the all-time fundraising record. And it didn't look like that right up until about the last 20 minutes. All of a sudden, the phones lit up. The operators were just so excited by what the Lord did. And we just want to thank you for every one of you that participated in your giving. For those of you that are new to this broadcast, it is completely listener supported, listener sponsored. Without the listener contributing for the radio time, we could not be with you. And so we want to give a shout out to everyone who prays for The Last Trump and Cross-Eyed Radio, and for who participates and gives monthly. When we do the radiothons, we do them about every month and a half. And it's a joy to be able to send you the gifts. I know Brother Bob Gogol sent out a bunch of conference notebooks. There was t-shirts, there were Revelation study guides, all kinds of things were going out the door this week due to the radiothon. But most importantly were the people who called in to put a gift on their credit card to help us continue with these two broadcasts. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And we just give God all the glory for speaking to people's hearts. And we are here tonight to get back into the book of Revelation. And of course, my co-host and good friend who's with us each and every week from Central Pennsylvania, Brother Kurt Space. Kirk, good to have you tonight.
Well, how we doing, brother? It's good to be here. And yeah, it's good to see the Lord's faithfulness again with the radiothon, and appreciate everybody that listened to the Lord on giving what he had them to give. And, you know, it's another one down, you know, and this happens every time. You know, it seems like real tight there for a little bit, but then always the last 10 minutes, the Lord comes through. So glory to God. He gets the glory. And we're back here now, another live weekend. And we're only, what, about 2 weeks away from Feast of Trumpets now. So it's high watch season.
It really is. And I want to encourage everyone that if you have not heard or gotten our teaching on the seven prophetic feasts that God gave Moses, we would love to send that to you. It's actually in our book, The Last Trump. And the seven feasts really, we believe, are a prophetic picture of a timeline set up by the Godhead. And I know that many of you already track this because you listen to us each and every week, but I want to say it for those that are new. The seven prophetic feasts that were given to Moses on Mount Sinai, we have the Feast of Passover, which Jesus Christ fulfilled when he died on Calvary. Now, for you that maybe is a novice to the Bible, understand these feasts are like holidays. They're like our Christmas, our Easter, but they are given to the Jewish people. And when they were given, they didn't know at that time that these were a prophetic sign, or as the Bible calls them, convocations, which means rehearsals of what was coming in the future. So when they were celebrating the Feast of Passover, they were just thinking, we're celebrating when the children of Israel put the blood on the doorpost on the 14th day of the month of Nisan, which our calendar, that would be March or April. And Kirk, they didn't know back in the Old Testament, most probably none understood that the Messiah Jesus would come and die on a cruel cross on that exact same day.
Yeah, no, I'm guessing it caught everybody by surprise because really, you know, most of Israel rejected the Messiah altogether. But this revelation of, the feast days, all these prophetic feasts that we've been covering here, you know, it's the first four in the spring were fulfilled at the first advent of the first coming. And these last fall feasts coming, we believe, are fulfilled through Christ's second coming. So it's always high watch time around feast days. You know, we've over the past 2 years, we've covered all the typology and all the symbolism on every one of the feasts, you know, for rapture typology. It's not just, you know, Feast of Trumpets. And I believe the Lord did that on purpose to keep us watching, to keep us waiting and praying and looking at this. But it's when you get into this study, folks, and you cover all the feasts and line them up with the coming of the Lord, it's quite an incredible teaching.
Yeah, and let me give this to you for those of you that maybe don't know where it is in the Bible. It's in Leviticus 23. It's in the book of Numbers as well and other places. But Leviticus 23 lays it out, the feast. And of course, it begins where the Lord gives the Sabbath rest. The seventh day is a day of rest. 6 days you work, seventh day is to be a day of rest. And that was typifying the cross. We are not working for our salvation. We believe that Jesus purchased our salvation when he died on the cross. As it pertains to salvation, you should be resting. I'm resting. I'm not trying to earn it. I'm not trying to work for it. I receive it by faith, faith alone in the sacrifice of Yeshua HaMashiach on Calvary's cross nearly 2,000 years ago. And he died exactly on Jewish Passover, and he gave up the ghost at 3 p.m., which was the evening oblation. That was the time where they would slay the lamb. They would shed the blood. And the priest then would go into the temple, into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, and he would sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat. So every Jew knows 3 o'clock is the time of the evening sacrifice, and that is the exact time Jesus died, fulfilling Feast of Passover. His body was laid into the tomb on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. His body knew no sin. He took on our sin, but he never sinned. So the unleavened body of our Lord was laid into the tomb exactly on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then he rose from the dead the first day after the Sabbath, after the Passover, which just so happened to be the Feast of First Fruits. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. And then 50 days later, exactly on the Feast of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given, poured out, 120 filled with the Spirit, speaking in other tongues. They came out of the temple, and 3,000 souls were added to the church, saved that day. And it was the day the church began. Kirk, if those four feasts in the spring were all fulfilled by the first coming of Jesus Christ, and they were, then it only makes sense that the fall feast will one day fulfill his second coming. And what are we talking about? We're talking about the rapture of the church, the second coming of Jesus Christ, and the beginning of his millennial reign of 1,000 years. And so when are those? In the fall. The Feast of Trumpets is coming up in 17 days from today. And it is the blowing of the trumpets. And the priests are going to be in Jerusalem, and they are going to blow those trumpets, 100 of them. And the last one, which is the longest of the 100 blasts, and it goes as long as that priest has breath in his lungs, and it's called the last trump, which totally matches what God gave us in 1 Corinthians 15, 51, and 52, Kirk. And something's going to happen that's pretty interesting this year in Israel. Tell our folks about it.
Well, you know, it's not just, it's one thing, it's several. You know, there's so many big changes that have been going on in the world, you know, especially with Israel and end time prophecy. I believe it was the Temple Institute who reported this, but they're planning for the first time ever that this year on Feast of Trumpets, They're going to simulcast and live stream the blowing of the shofar, the 100 trumpet blasts, on Feast of Trumpets. And that's never been done before. And another interesting thing, too, is for years, the Jews weren't even allowed to go up onto Temple Mount, let alone blow a shofar up there. But what happened, I think it was 2 weeks ago, there was a rabbi. I don't know how prominent he was, but the Temple Institute shared this also. They were blowing a shofar on the Temple Mount.
Wow.
Now, 10, 15, 20 years ago, that would have been an act of war.
Right.
And it would have been, you know, chaos. But now here we see they're allowed to pray now on the Temple Mount. They're allowed to lay prostrate on the Temple Mount, right? Now they're going to be live casting the Feast of Trumpets. So it seems as though there's some kind of culmination coming here. And what my mindset is behind this, and we've covered it previously, is this whole ecumenical push that the Pope and Roman Catholicism has been working at since the 60s to bring all the world religions together under one through what they call Chrislam. And they have the Abrahamic family house over in Dubai. We've talked about it before.
Yes.
And you have all three of the faiths. You have Judaism, Roman Catholicism for Christianity, and then Islam. All three are right there. So now we're starting to see compromise over in Israel on the Temple Mount. So for an act that would have been a call to war just even 5 years ago, it's a pretty big deal if these things are happening today, and now especially coming right up to the Feast of Trumpets. And now, you know, the Pope this weekend, he's calling for a two-state solution. He's calling for Israel to, you know, they're pushing this now because the UN General Assembly is this coming week, and the big ticket on the bill is a two-state solution, a Palestinian state. So things, folks, right now, they're very tense, and they're very, I don't know the word for it, but is it a coincidence that all this is happening around Feast of Trumpets? And, we, you know, we could say this every year. We've seen signs picking up in the world around the fall feasts. And, you know, that's just the way things go, I guess. But we can't rule it out.
Well, the Lord is definitely awakening people that are looking and watching of how close the coming of the Lord is. These are not coincidence. These are a planned event, both on the demonic side, who is trying to bring the world into a new world order, a one world government led by a man that we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about two men tonight in Scripture, two which the Scripture called beast. One is the Antichrist, a political leader who will have supernatural power and great oratory ability to speak, and he will speak blasphemies against God, against the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second beast is the false prophet, a religious leader who will rise up, and he will also have supernatural power. And this is all to deceive the nations and to pull the world away from the one true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to worship the beast, the Antichrist, and come into his system. That's going to be just coming up a little bit later here. But Kirk, staying with this Feast of Trumpets, and I want our listeners to know this, and I make no backing up on this. I believe when the Lord raptures his church, it will be on one or two days. It'll be on Tishri 1 or Tishri 2. Though there are 2 days that represent the Feast of Trumpets. And let me be clear, I do not know, nor does anyone else know, the day or the hour, nor I don't believe anyone, and maybe there are a few in the world that know the actual year. They may think they know, and maybe they know, but I don't know. But I do know enough to be ready right now, and I do know, based on the four feasts that were fulfilled by Jesus' first coming, that with the Feast of Trumpets coming up in just a few weeks, 2 weeks away and a few days, that we should be in high alert, because this could be the year, folks, that the trumpet will sound. If you are playing with God, if your life is not surrendered, if you've never been born again, or you have fallen away, this broadcast is for you tonight. Do not put this off. I can't say that enough, because what we're dealing with here in the book of Revelation is so traumatic that you do not want to be here on this earth after the rapture of the church. If the Lord spits you out, or if you are not ready at all, not even believing in Jesus, and you have to go through the great tribulation, it's going to be horrendous on you, your family. You say, well, you know, I don't like you making us, you know, putting fear on us. Listen, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You better fear God. And I'm going by what he says. And what he says is there's a coming tribulation. And Kirk, one of the signs, and we've dealt with this, is the third temple. It is every Jewish rabbi in Israel's goal is to build the third temple. And there is a lot of movement in Israel. We have covered this as well. And you can go to our JR app, go to the app store, download the Joshua Revolution app. You just type in Joshua Revolution. You can put it on your phone for free. Go back and listen to our broadcasts. But this third temple is the goal of the rabbis. And they're talking about wanting to build it by the end of 2025. That's their goal. Will they be able to pull that off? I don't know, but I do know this. After the church is gone, the Antichrist, it looks like, who will be a man that is not, they won't see him as the Antichrist. They're going to see him as the Messiah.
Yep.
He's going to have supernatural ability to heal, to do signs and wonders. And he is going to turn on the Jews at the midpoint. And we're going to be studying this tonight at the 3.5 year point. And then Israel's going to know, wow, we've been duped. And they're going to be running for their lives because he's going to try to destroy every one of them. But this temple talk, Kirk, it's real. And it just seems to be closer and closer where they are ready to build that third temple.
Well, their official statement from the Temple Institute is they are dead set and ready to build in December of this year. And, you know, there was a lot of controversy over the past month or so over the red heifer sacrifice. They made a report that said they weren't, they finally found that all of them had a blemish and they couldn't use any of them. But it turns out there isn't really much credibility to that report. And there's prominent leaders in Israel in the rabbinic communities who are going on podcasts and saying, no, we actually did do it. And it was real. It wasn't a trial run. It was the real deal. The one guy went on Timcast, and he had a little baggie of the ashes with him, and he claimed that, you know, this was from the red heifers. So they're ready to go. You know, we've covered it. They have all the furniture ready to go into the temple. They just need the permission to do it, right? And that's essentially what we're waiting on. But then that, you know, the other, to me, I wanted to share this with everybody because the other biggest sign right now in the world to me and you, I know, brother, but this is shocking, okay? We see three times in the Gospels, Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, the Lord warns us of drastic earthquakes in diverse places in the last days, right? So we're seeing all these earthquakes pop up recently, like big ones. You know, they just had that one in Afghanistan where a lot of people died. You know, you had the 8.8 over in Russia 2 months ago, and it's just triggered a chain reaction. So I was interesting, and I decided to look up what's the yearly average for earthquakes. And the statistic is for a 4.0 and greater. Over the last 5 years, the average per year is 1,881 earthquakes. Okay, that's pretty consistent going back even more than 5 years. But 4.0s or higher, we're at 1,800 a year. So I looked into what is the current number of earthquakes as of right now in 2025. And don't you know, this shocked me. It's 11,885. That's a 511% increase.
Wow.
In the change of the new year to 2025. It's unheard of. Like, we've never experienced anything like this. So this should be another one of the biggest indicators to folks listening and people out there that something's not right in the world. The earth is groaning and travailing for the coming of the Lord.
And we should be too.
Absolutely, we should too. And when you look at this as one of the signs in those books, Matthew, Luke, and in Mark, it says there will be earthquakes in divers places. That means in different places all over the world. And every day when I go into the earthquakes to check it, you know, we're seeing sometimes, you know, it's under 50, but I've seen many days in the last couple of weeks over 50. Mm-hmm. We had the big one in Afghanistan. Kirk, that earthquake, which doesn't, you know, it doesn't appear when you hear 6.0, you know, that's a big one, but it's not like an 8.8 that happened off the coast of Russia right. A few weeks ago. But that 6.0, which was very shallow in that one of the major cities there, I mean, it took how many lives? Over 1,000? I think there was over 2,000 that were injured, but they're still looking for people. We then had, and that was just a few minutes before September 1st. It was almost at midnight of September 1st, this Afghanistan earthquake that killed over 1,000 people. And then you have 2 days later, September 3rd, the mudslide in Sudan that took another over 1,000 lives because there was torrential rain and flooding. And they had a landslide and literally mud and it just covered a town and village. And these are just terrible things that are happening. And they go by and most people, Kirk, don't even pay any attention to them because they're not watching. Jesus said, watch and pray that you would be counted worthy to escape all these things that are about to come onto the world, and that you would stand before the Son of Man. And that tells us, Kirk, there is an escape for the body of Christ, for the true believers, because what you're seeing right now, folks, is just the warm-up of what's coming. And we're laying this out for you in chapter and verse, Revelation. And Kirk, what really saddens me is many in the modern church today, many pastors and Christians are not studying, reading, or proclaiming the book of Revelation. It's shocking, but it's true.
Well, and it's not just Revelation either. It's, you know, it's all prophecy. You know, it's a sad state for the church. You know, thank God for the remnant who does, you know, but it's very few and far between. You know, I mean, how many people in the church really understand and recognize that a 511% increase in earthquakes is an end time sign? You know, like the church should be sounding the alarm, you know, all the time about this stuff. And, you know, every time we're seeing these storms, showing you how this correlates with scripture, like we've done with Nahum, going through the minor prophets. It's that there's a great guft in the church. And there's a lot lacking, and it's sad. And, you know, scripture tells us it's going to be like in the days of Noah. You know, they'll be eating and drinking and giving in marriage and just going about their lives like there's nothing wrong at all, you know. But thank God for the remnant who see it and preach it and are still sounding the alarm.
The Romans verse I was thinking about tonight in Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And I want to say tonight, if the Spirit of God lives truly in you, and you go to the Lord and you ask him, Lord, how late is it? The Spirit of God is going to reveal. He's going to start to reveal things to you, and you're going to realize it is very late on God's timetable. Now, as we come up to the Feast of Trumpets, I want to read this verse from Leviticus. It's in the 23rd chapter, verse 23. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. And Kirk, I don't know if you have there the notes from the Expositor Study Bible.
Yep.
Can you read that for our listeners?
Sure. The Feast of Trumpets pertains both to the church and to Israel. It speaks, first of all, to the church, which will signal the rapture and thereby the close of the church age. But the same trumpets which signal the end of the church will, at the same time, signal the beginning of the restoration of Israel.
All right. Tonight, and let me just say this before I say that, what we just read, what Kirk just read to you, is what many eschatologists, Bible scholars, and me and Kirk believe, and we're just, you know, like you out there, we're just studying the Word and just thankful for all of the study helps that have been given. But this verse here and the commentary notes, I agree with 100%. That one of these years, it could be 2025, it could be 2026, a year from now, it could be 2029, 4 years from now. But what we do know based on the signs that we're bringing to you each and every week, we're very close. And with the Feast of Trumpets coming, and what is believed that on the Feast of Trumpets, one of these years, the Lord is going to descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be transformed, twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15 says, and we shall be caught up, we shall be harpazoed, snatched away, rescued, to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. We believe the next event on God's prophetic timetable is going to fulfill the Feast of Trumpets. It's called the rapture of the church. We are pre-trib all the way. We do not believe the church is to go through the tribulation. If your pastor's telling you that, I believe he has misunderstood the scriptures. And the cross of Calvary took the wrath of God from you if you believe in Jesus, if you're born again. And so if you're out there and you want to argue with us on that point, you can stay here all you want. Two-thirds of the planet are going to be destroyed in the tribulation. You want to go through the tribulation? Go ahead. But I'm looking for the coming of the bridegroom. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Tonight, you better fear God. You better get rid of the things in your life, the perversion, the temptations that you continue to give into. Be it sexual, be it drugs, be it alcohol, be it just you're so caught up in, you know, sports and athletics or whatever the thing that turns your crank and you give little time for Jesus Christ, you better repent or you're going to be left behind. And you're not going to be able to blame this broadcast because we told you. And we told you because we love you. I don't want my worst enemy to have to go through the tribulation. And so tonight here on The Last Trump, we are in full ready mode for whatever lies ahead. But we're telling you, the Lord is coming soon. And these signs of the times. Kirk, there's another one coming up. There's an eclipse. What is it, tonight, tomorrow?
Tomorrow
night, 6 billion people on the planet are going to be able to see a blood moon, a lunar eclipse. We're not going to see it, from what I've been told here in North America. But most of the world is going to see a blood moon. And you say, why is that important? Because that's exactly what Joel the prophet said in the last days. And it's coming up. He said there would be, the moon would be turned to blood in the right before the terrible day of the Lord. And so these blood moons, you can just dismiss them as no big deal. But the Jews in Israel believe a lunar eclipse means bad for Israel. Solar eclipse means bad for the Gentiles. Well, when the Great Tribulation begins, it's going to be very bad for Israel, and it's going to be very bad for anybody that has been left behind. And we don't want that to be you tonight.
Jesus said he's coming back.
on The Last Trump. That's CC Winans. In a little while, he's coming back. Praying that you're ready for that great moment when the shout comes from heaven. And tonight here on The Last Trump, I want to encourage you to, if you have not gotten a copy of our recent track that we produced in 2024 called Your Survival Kit, this is one of the most, I think, dynamic gospel tracks you would ever lay your hands on. We wrote it as a way to prepare someone if they don't receive Christ before the trumpet sounds, before the rapture, they would know what to do. And number one, do not take the mark of the beast. You would be lost forever. But yet in this survival kit, we go through the signs of the times that are pointing to towards the coming of the Lord. We then give the gospel message and give them an opportunity to say, you don't have to be here when all of the terrible judgments begin to fall from heaven. And this gospel track has touched more people. It's fully colored. I think it's like 32 pages. Well, maybe not that many. Almost 30 pages. And we're going to make it available tonight for you. All you have to do is call Joshua Revolution tonight, and you can order it. If you can put in a donation to cover the postage, that would be wonderful. But it's your survival kit, how to prepare for what's coming. You want to get this in the hand of every person who is not yet a believer in Jesus, or maybe they're lukewarm, and you can order 5, 10, 20, but you got to call tonight to get them. And the number to call is 716-229-8000. If you're up in Canada, 1-888-444-2922. Zero. Kirk, we're in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, and we're going to pick it up tonight on the 12th verse. If you could read for our listeners, Revelation chapter 12, 12 through 14.
Okay. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent.
All right, now we studied this in our last broadcast 2 weeks ago, before our radiothon, that at the midpoint of the tribulation, and that is 3.5 years into the 7-year tribulation period, or 42 months, the devil, Satan, is going to be cast down to the earth. He is, right now, he has access to the third heaven to go before God and accuse believers before the Lord. We saw that in the life of Job. But in the middle of the tribulation, God is going to say, you no longer will have access to God or the second or third heaven, but you're going to be thrown down. He's going to be literally thrown down to the earth. And of course, as the Bible says here in the 12th verse, there's going to be great rejoicing in heaven at this point as Satan is cast down, because not only do they no longer have to see him or hear him accusing the saints before God, but now he's on the earth, and the time is very short, and it will be 42 months, that's all he has left, before the Lord is going to deal with Satan and put him in the bottomless pit. But the Bible says there is going to be great calamity. Satan, knowing that he's been cast down, he knows his time is short, and he is going to work through the Antichrist and through the false prophet to cause great, great persecution to the nation of Israel. And ultimately, he's trying to destroy every last Jew, every last Christian before his time is up. Kirk, this is a terrible time to be on the earth, and that's why Jesus called it the Great Tribulation.
Yeah, and this is essentially, it's the third woe that was, the angel cried out earlier in Revelation, the woe, woe, woe. This is the third one where Satan is finally cast out of heaven, and heaven will rejoice that he's gone. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea is what the scripture says, because this is, you know, not only are the people on the earth going to have to deal with all the 14 first judgments in the first half, but this second half, you got the other seven judgments of God. But you have to worry about now the devil's on the earth and his angels are with him. So who knows what else is going to be going on? I mean, Revelation bears out how awful it's going to be with the judgments, but the things the Antichrist are going to do and that the Satan is going to do through him, the false prophet, it's who knows how bad it's going to be on top of God's judgments that are being sent down. So this isn't any time for anybody to want to be on the earth. And we see here, this is where the remnant of Israel takes off to Petra and they go and hide in the mountains for 3.5 years. And then, you know, we'll get into what happens, but it's quite the trying time.
Yeah. And of course, the Antichrist is being empowered by Satan. He's being empowered by a demonic spirit that comes out of the bottomless pit. And, you know, Satan's angels, they're fallen angels, really. They're demons, spirits. And they're one third of the angels fell with Lucifer in times past. And they have thrown their lot in with the satanic kingdom. And look at the verse 14. It says, to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness into her place. So Israel, the Jewish people at this point are going to realize they have been duped. They have the temple built, but now this Antichrist figure has come. He's taken up residence, making the temple his new headquarters. He's going to turn on Israel, and they're going to know that he's going to persecute the woman, verse 13, who brought forth the man-child. We went over the man-child in our last broadcast on this, and it was speaking of the 144,000 Jews who get saved. They're witnesses on the earth. They believe in Yeshua HaMashiach, and the Lord is going to, in the midpoint, rapture and take them up. They're going to be caught up, as Revelation 12 said. And now he's going to go after the nation of Israel. He's steaming mad. He knows his time is short. And now let's pick it up, Kirk, and we'll read from the verse 15 to the end of the chapter.
And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
All right, now, so we see here at the end of this chapter, number one, the Antichrist is chasing, literally going after the Jews that are running into Jordan, fleeing, however they will flee, car, truck, whatever. And he is taking part of his armies, and he will have 10 nations that are going to merge together with him. And part of his army is literally going after them. But God supernaturally is going to protect the Jewish people. As the Bible says here, the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth. Kirk, you were sharing about the intensity and the increase of earthquakes here in these last few years. I believe, scholars believe, it will be an earthquake where he will literally, God will open up the earth and he will swallow up the armies that are chasing Israel. And this will infuriate the devil. The dragon will become, as the Bible says, he will become wroth with the woman, with Israel. But he will go and he will make war. He realizes that those that have fled to Petra are supernaturally being protected, but he's going to go after the remnant. Now, this is encouraging in one sense, that not only are there going to be 144,000 Jews who are going to receive Christ, and again, they're going to be taken up, as we read earlier 2 weeks ago in chapter 12, but there are going to be many other Jews, Kirk, who are going to be converted to Christ at this time. And the Antichrist is going to go after them. So there's not the whole nation or all the Jewish people are going to flee to Petra. there's going to be many, but there's going to be a remnant that are not. They're in somewhere in Israel or another place of the world. And it says this remnant, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. If you're listening tonight and you want to know what God requires of you to be saved, it is number one, that you obey him, to keep the commandments. And number two, you have the testimony of Jesus Christ, meaning you believe in him, you believe what he did at Calvary for you, you believe in the resurrection, and you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, we cannot keep the commandments outside of the Holy Spirit, but a true believer has the Holy Spirit in you, and that's what gives you the will to do what's right and the power. Are we perfect? No. But we are not people who practice sin. We are people who have been delivered from sin. Make no mistake about that. Kirk, anything you want to say before we go to the chapter 13?
Well, you just got to remember, folks, that we had already the 144,000 who were leading the charge of spreading the gospel during the first 3.5 years. And then we had the two witnesses come. You know, so there's, you know, scholars believe that there is a major portion of Israel at this time that is saved and living for the Lord. And, you know, the scripture confirms it, that he's going to go after the remnant. When he realizes that God has protected those in Petra, he's going to go and get the remnant who are living for the Lord. You know, so there's a good chunk of Israel. You know, I know a lot of people, and I've heard this argument, that the 144,000 are the only saved Jews in this time period. And that's just categorically untrue. Scripture bears out the countless souls that will be saved during this time, you know, between the 144,000 and the two witnesses. So this is where we see he really amps it up here now to go take out as much as he can.
And now we go into the 13th and 14th chapter. Now, let me just say, these two chapters, they reveal who the Antichrist is, not personally, but the qualities of him and the false prophet. And the symbolism here in these two chapters point to a one-world leader ruling over a one-world government and a religious leader, i.e. the false prophet, promoting the allegiance of the world to worship and follow this political leader, which is the Antichrist, and Satan is behind it all. And let me say this, and this is where the book of Revelation is going to take us. The devil is a formidable foe, folks. You are no match for him, but he is no match for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is no match for God the Father and God the Holy Ghost. But when we look in Scripture, we see there are various names that are given to Satan. He is called in Revelation 9:11, Apollyon, which means destroyer. He's called Satan, which means accuser. And we just read that in Revelation 12, verse 10, a couple weeks ago. He's referred to as Beelzebub in Matthew 12, 24. Belial in 2 Corinthians 6:15. He's referred to here in the 12th chapter of Revelation as the dragon. He's also referred to as the serpent. He's referred to as the tempter in Matthew 4:3. The god of this world in 2 Corinthians 4:4. The wicked one in Matthew 13:19. The adversary in 1 Peter 5:8. The father of lies in John 8:44, the ruler of darkness in Ephesians 6:12, the prince of this world, John 12:31. He's referred to as the murderer in John 8:44, and he's referred to as the enemy in Matthew 13:39. The false prophet now will be a religious leader who will garner the respect of the world, and he will have influence to lead many astray in the worship of the Antichrist. The mark of the beast, 666, is instituted here in these two chapters of Revelation 13 and 14. And anyone who takes the mark will not be able to be saved. It is, in fact, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit once you take that mark, once it is put on either your right forearm or the forehead of a person, their soul will be damned to hell and there's no chance of being saved. Kirk, it's very interesting how very little the church is studying this tonight, how very little are studying it at all in their churches. Satan is going to be cast down, and the true identity of the unholy Trinity is going to be revealed to the world. Satan, playing in a counterfeit way, he is the father of evil. His son, the Antichrist, will be carrying out his directions on the earth during the tribulation. And the false prophet will serve as a type of an unholy spirit, taking religion, hijacking it, and using it to bring worship to the Antichrist. This is chapter 13, Satan's unholy Trinity. Let's read the first four verses, if you can, Kirk.
Okay. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?
All right, now, the Bible is going to refer to these two leaders as beasts, which really tells you a little bit about their nature. They're wild in the way they operate. And it says, as John saw standing, he said, I stood upon the sand of the sea. It's really speaking of people. John was seeing from the midst of the people would come this beast, which is the Antichrist, who will be empowered with satanic abilities. The seven heads represent the seven empires that have all come against Israel in the past. The ten horns, being on the seven heads, represent the ten nations that will throw in their lot with the Antichrist, who will come against Israel. Who are these ten nations? It will be the revised Roman Empire. And it's interesting, Kirk, when you go into Psalm 83, there just happens to be 10 nations that are called out in Psalm 83, and they are all nations that surround Israel. And so what we see from this is there's going to be a confederation that the devil is going to, he's going to use the Antichrist to bring these nations together to try once and for all to destroy the Jewish people and the Jewish nation of Israel.
Well, and you know what's interesting about these couple verses here in the beginning? You know, he's explaining what the beast looks like. He says, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. Folks, I want people listening to look this up. Look up the statue outside of the UN building in New York City. It's called the Statue for Peace and Security, okay? And it's this beast that is described here in Revelation 13:2. It is a leopard, and it has feet of a bear, it has the mouth of a lion, and it has dragon wings and a tail. And, you know, this was up from 2022 until I think they took it down because they got so much pushback over this. But it couldn't be any more in our face. I mean, you know, the UN, it's, you know, if you read Psalm 2, folks, it talks about a conspiracy and the kings of the earth conspiring against the Lord's anointed, you know, and I'm sure the UN is going to have great involvement here with the Antichrist and the aligning of all these nations. And it's shocking that, you know, somebody of such great power like the UN would have this beast outside of their building. Like, isn't that telling?
It is telling. And when you study this out, you will find, and the Expositor Study Bible brings it out, that there will be an assistance to the Antichrist of a previous fallen angel who helped Alexander the Great conquer the world of his day. And they believe that this demonic force will be released from the bottomless pit to assist the Antichrist. And when you look at the leper, that's an animal that can move very swiftly. This tells us the Antichrist is going to move in as a world leader very quickly. He is going to conquer these 10 nations very quickly. And such is the word, the leper, moving fast. And he saw his feet were as a bear. Now, this is speaking of like a bear would trample over men. His mouth is compared to a lion, speaking of his ability to speak and proclaim great claims that no doubt will lead many astray. You know, you find a man that has ability to speak, and people sometimes, many times, ignore his character and follow this charismatic leader because he's got great oratorial ability. The dragon here is Satan, and he is going to empower this Antichrist figure. And he is going to have demon spirits assisting him to do false signs and wonders. And the world, most of it, many people, millions of people, if not billions, are going to be deceived by this one world leader. Now, in verse 3, it says, it speaks of one of his heads were wounded, and the deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, this I've heard it said, Kirk, is not speaking literally of the Antichrist in this place, although we will see it later that he is supernaturally healed in another place. But this is actually referring to this fallen angel that is assisting the Antichrist, who was once, as we mentioned, thrown in the bottomless pit, but now has been brought out. And again, friend, this is not a mere man that's working here. This is a man that has been filled with demonic power. And the world is going to exalt the Antichrist as a superhuman leader. And they will worship him because of his great abilities and power. But the devil knows his time is short. And he doesn't have much time. And he's going to be moving, as we said, like a leper, very swiftly. Kirk, anything else before we're coming down to the end of our program? But that verse 4 that you read, they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? The world is throwing in their lot with this leader. Yeah, and we can, yeah, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, these characteristics listed, they also, Daniel explained this same image to us, and they refer, like the feet of a bear refers to the characteristics of the ancient Medo-Persian Empire, which with ferociousness, and the mouth of a lion portrays to the Babylonian Empire. And we see here, you know, as we were just saying in verse 3, this demonic entity, fallen angel that's cast out of the bottomless pit in Revelation 11:7, was the fallen angel that helped the Grecian Empire. This is what made Alexander the Great so powerful and able to conquer so many people so fast. This is the revival of that spirit.
Exactly.
That helped Alexander the Great. So that's what's going to be backing the Antichrist along with Satan. So that's why they say, you know, who can make war with him? Because the power is going to be so great.
And, you know, when you see the political deception today in our nation and all over the world, we are prime for this moment, because we're not even talking about a political leader that's operating in the natural and we're being deceived. How much more are they going to be deceived, the world, when you have a political leader that has supernatural ability, folks? And if you don't know your Bible, you're going to be deceived. There are millions of people being deceived right now because they don't know their Bible. How much more when this charismatic leader comes on the scene and he's got the nations behind him, 10 nations, he's got armies, and he's doing miracles, false miracles, false signs and wonders. Kirk, let's read verse 5 and 6. We got to get this in before we close tonight.
Okay, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them who dwell in heaven.
And let's read verse 7 and 8.
Okay, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all who dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Wow, these are powerful words, powerful claims that would be made with the name of Jesus being mocked. He, even though Satan is causing great deception, destruction, his time for defeat, friend, is appointed. And his influence is just for a time. It's only 42 months. Do you see that in verse 5? That's all he has left before Jesus Christ comes to defeat him. But he is going to mock. He is going to berate the name of Jesus. He's going to berate the God of the Bible and heaven. He's going to commit blasphemies against God. And he's going to speak of the evil and wicked heart of the devil. This is Lucifer of old, who is now empowering this political leader. And notice what it says in verse 7. It was given him to make war with who? The saints. That's who the devil, first and foremost, is trying to come and kill, steal, and destroy. And he says, and it says, power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. This means the Antichrist deception and control will touch the world, and it will deceive millions. But his main power, don't miss this tonight, is to be the ruler over this world. He hates the saints of God, and he hates them no matter what nation they are from. Tonight, understand, we are heading into a battle. We are in a battle, but it is going to become literal in the end times, in the tribulation period. And God has provided for you and me an escape route. It's called the rapture of the church. And tonight we're going to give you that opportunity. And I just ask for the cross-eyed listeners to give us this grace as we give the invitation before we switch programs tonight. But if you do not know the Lord, if you are not 100% sure that Jesus Christ lives within you, that your name, you don't know if your name's been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, there are only two things tonight that will save you. You must repent, and you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I had a Catholic man one time. I shared with him the gospel message. And when I said to this brother, I said, or this friend of mine, I should say, I said, all to be saved, because he asked me, what does a man have to do to be saved? And I said, you have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was buried, and he rose from the dead. And he looked at me and said, no problem. I mean, he's a Catholic man. He said, I believe that. I believe totally in that. And I said, there's one more thing you have to do. And he said, what's that? I said, you have to repent and turn from your way of living and become a follower of Jesus Christ and surrender to his will for your life. And he looked at me and he said, I'm not ready to do that. Tonight, I pray that many of you listening would say, Pastor Mike, Brother Kirk, I am ready. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he died. I believe he rose from the dead. And I'm ready to repent and turn my life over to him. If that's you tonight, then this prayer that you pray from the bottom of your heart will save your soul. Pray with me. Pray with Kirk tonight. And just say these simple words to God. Dear God in heaven.
Dear God in heaven.
I come to you in the name of Jesus.
I come to you in the name of Jesus.
And Lord, tonight I want to repent.
And Lord, tonight I want to repent.
I want to turn from the way I've been living.
I want to turn from the way I've been living.
I'm sorry for the things I've done.
I'm sorry for the things I've done.
Living my life the way I want to live it.
Living my life the way I want to live it.
And doing things that I know.
And doing things that I know.
Are against your word.
Are against your word.
And so right now.
So right now.
I turn to you.
I turn to you.
And I place my faith.
And I place my faith.
My trust.
My trust.
In Jesus Christ.
In Jesus Christ.
I believe you are the Son of God.
I believe you are the Son of God.
That you shed your blood and died on the cross for me.
That you shed your blood and died on a cross for me.
So that I could be forgiven of all my sins.
So that I could be forgiven of all my sins.
And I believe on the third day you rose from the dead.
And I believe on the third day you rose from the dead.
And you are alive.
And you are alive.
And tonight I open up my heart.
And tonight I open up my heart.
And I invite you, Jesus.
And I invite you, Jesus.
By the power of your Holy Spirit.
By the power of your Holy Spirit.
To come into my life.
To come into my life.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
And change it.
And change it.
And from this day forward.
And from this day forward.
I surrender.
I surrender.
To the Lordship.
To the Lordship.
Of Jesus Christ.
Of Jesus Christ.
In my life.
In my life.
I make you Lord.
I make you Lord.
And I thank you.
And I thank you.
By faith, I thank you.
By faith, I thank you.
That tonight.
That tonight.
I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
I'm washed.
I'm washed.
I am saved.
I am saved.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
And now for every one of you, and I just want to shout hallelujah, because if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, a miracle just happened. The Lord Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, just came into your soul and saved you. And if the trumpet sounded right now, you would be going as a part of the bride of Christ. And I want to do something very special for those that have prayed tonight. I want to send you a copy of the Expositor's Study Bible, New Testament, King James Version. It's leatherback, no cost to you at all. All you do tonight is call our operators. I prayed with Pastor Mike and Brother Kirk. Maybe it was the first time you ever asked Jesus into your heart. Maybe it was a recommitment. But we will send you the Bible free of charge as a way to help you to grow in the Lord. The number to call, 716-229-8000. That's in the greater Buffalo area, 716-229-8000. Or up in Canada, 1-888-444-2920. That's 1-888-444-2920. Operators are waiting right now. If you want to order those survival kits, and by the way, anybody that calls tonight that prayed, we're going to put one of these survival kit gospel tracts in that package. But if you want these gospel tracts, we will send you, and I know Brother Bob, I'll get in trouble if I don't ask. If you can put a donation with them, that would be great to cover the postage. We'll send you, if you need 5, 10, the number. We want to get these out. When you receive your survival kit gospel tract, you're going to be calling and saying, how do I get more of those? Because they will open the eyes of people you give them to. And Kirk, I want to do one more thing for our listeners tonight. If you are a regular listener of The Last Trump, and you say, Pastor Mike, when you began tonight, you and Kirk talking about the Feast of Trumpets and how Jesus fulfilled the four feasts with his first coming, and he's about to fulfill the last three for the second coming. I want to learn more about that. That is all covered in our book, The Last Trump, and also in our Conference End Times notebook. and we will send you a copy of one or the other. But you got to call tonight and say, can I get a copy of the material that cover the seven prophetic feasts? When you get this, I believe it will really open your eyes to the prophetic dates. We don't know the year, but we know and we believe that it will happen. The rapture, the second coming, the beginning of the millennial reign on these feast dates. And you'll find out more when you call to get these materials. The number again, 716-229-8000 or 1-888-444-2920. Kirk, what a night. Thanks for staying overtime tonight. A lot here in the book of Revelation.
God bless, brother. It's been a pleasure.
Don't forget where we left off. We'll pick it right back up next week. Me and Kirk will be back, Lord willing, and we will cover from the ninth verse moving forward. We hope this has been a blessing to you. We love you. God bless you. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Cross-Eyed Radio.
You have been listening to The Last Trump, a radio talk show sponsored by Joshua Revolution. If The Last Trump has been a blessing to you, please let us know by sending a testimony on how the program has helped you. If you would like to support The Last Trump financially, you can send financial gifts to Joshua Revolution, P.O. Box 923, Grand Island, New York, 14072, or go to our website at joshuarevolution.org. We thank you for your help and prayers, and remember to tune in next week at 8:30 p.m. for The Last Trump, a study on end times prophecy.